Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Text number 27. There's no purport. So we're just going to read the translation, then we'll do 28 for the Sanskrit. When one is envious of the demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the Vedas which give all knowledge, of the cows, Brahmins, Vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. Text 28. Nirvairaya prasantaya
Swasutaya
Mahatmane
Radaya
Druyed Tanishe Pi Virorajitam. Near Varaya, who is without enemies, Prasantaya,
very sober and peaceful.
Swasutaya, unto his own sons. Mahat Atmane, who is a great devotee. Radaya, Prahlad Maharaj. Yada, when. Druyat, will commit violence. Hanishe, I shall kill. Api, although, Vara Ujitam, blessed by the boons of Lord Brahma. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who is without and has no enemy, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. Purport. All sinful activities, an offense to a pure devotee or Vaishnav is the most severe. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav is so disastrous that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared it to a mad elephant that enters the garden and causes great havoc by uprooting many plants and trees. If one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Brahmana or a Vaishnav, his offenses uproot all of his auspicious activities. One should therefore very carefully guard against committing Vaishnav aparad or an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnav. Here the Lord clearly says that although Hiranyakashipu had received benedictions from Lord Brahma, these benedictions would be null and void as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, his own son. A Vaishnav like Prahlad Maharaj is described herein as Nirvaira, having no enemies. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25:21, it is said, Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sarva Sarubhushana. A devotee has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Devotee does not create enmity with anyone, but if someone becomes his enemy, that person will be vanquished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite whatever benedictions he may have received from other sources. Hiranyakashipu is certainly enjoying the fruitful results of his austerities, but here the Lord says that as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of the Prahlad Maharaj, he would be ruined. One's longevity, opulence, beauty, education, and whatever else one may possess as a result of pious activities cannot protect one if one commits an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Despite whatever one possesses, If one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, he'll be vanquished. When Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. There are certain themes that are consistent throughout the whole Bhagavatam. One of them is Bhagavatam deals with the incarnations of Krishna. And the other is that the Bhagavatam deals with the devotees. But it seems wherever you have Krishna and wherever you have the devotees, you also have offenders against Krishna and the devotees. Similarly, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Bhagavata, is just full of stories of devotees and their offenders, those who are offending the devotees. Some of the more famous ones were Ramachandra Khan, who was a great offender against Haridas Thakura. He was the one who became so envious against Haridas Thakura that he sent a very young, beautiful prostitute to try and defame him. Of course, we know that later on that prostitute became a great devotee of Krishna, and Haridas Thakura left. And of course, he was offended in other places too. The Qazi tried to have him caned in 23 marketplaces, and he had to be protected by Lord Chaitanya. And later on, because of the offense, the whole Muslim, practically all these Muslims who caused the offense, they were all vanquished. Ramachandra Khan went on to become an offender even against Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, one day with his party, came to his house, and according to the arrangements at that time, there was an inner and outer house. People, the intimate family members would live in the inner house, and the outer courtyard would be reserved for the guests. Lord Nityananda and his followers came to the outer courtyard, and Ramachandra Khan was informed that Lord Nityananda and his associates are now in the outer part of your house. What should we do? Now, if Lord Nityananda came to your house, what would you do? Probably see whatever is available to offer him. Especially, probably good to begin with falling at his lotus feet, trying to get a hold of them. But Ramachandra Khan was uninclined in that way. Instead, he told his servant, tell Lord Nityananda, this is not a very suitable place for you and your associates. Better you go and find a place where there's a cowherd shed, and you and your associates can stay there with the cows. So Lord Nityananda said, you're right. This place is not suitable for a cow-killing Muslim. And he and his associates left in anger. Not good to cause Lord Nityananda to become angry if you want to make spiritual advancement or if you want to have a peaceful material life. The source of the super soul, if you make him angry, you're in trouble. If Krishna doesn't talk to you, then you're really in difficulty. In any case, Lord Nityananda left with his associates in anger, and Ramachandra Khan said to his servant, go to the place where every Lord Nityananda and his associates stepped, dig up the earth and throw it out of the house. I mean, that's called envy. If you want to learn how to become envious, then you know there's some good examples. So he did that, and because of his offenses, a Muslim came who was a tax collector. Knowing that Ramachandra Khan was cheating the government and not giving all the money in taxes. So he came and arrested Ramachandra Khan and his family and held them captive. And in that very spot where Lord Nityananda's footprints were dug up and thrown out, the Muslim killed a cow and started to roast it right in that place. And then the Muslims they invaded the entire village and destroyed it. So not only Ramachandra Khan, due to his offense, and his family, due to his offense, became vanquished, but the entire village, due to their association, became destroyed. Such is the reactions of offending Krishna and his associates. And of course, there's no lack of examples in the Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu wasn't the first, he may have been the first offender. He's the first historical child abuser. And we have so many other, Dhruva Maharaj, his Suniti, Suruchi actually. Suruchi was the one who offended Dhruva Maharaj, and her son was named Uttama. Now Dhruva Maharaj was just a little boy, 5 years old, son of a Kshatriya, and he was offended by his stepmother, Suruchi. And later on, of course, he went to the forest, became absorbed in austerities, met the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prishni Garba, face to face, and became a completely pure devotee. Now, when Dhruva Maharaj was 5 years old, he was a Kshatriya and a little boy. He wasn't a devotee. He knew nothing about Vishnu or Krishna. When he received the offense by his mother, Suruchi, that he couldn't sit on the lap of his father. Now, because of that offense, when he became a pure devotee, Krishna did not simply take the offense against a non-devotee when he was a five-year-old boy. He took the offense against a devotee, a pure devotee. So she received the reaction for offending a pure devotee when at that time he wasn't a pure devotee, he was just an ordinary five-year-old boy. And her son was killed in a forest fire, and she ran into the forest fire and was burned to ashes also, simply for offending Dhruva Maharaj. So therefore, the Bhagavatam also gives us an example. It's not a good idea to offend someone who's not even a devotee. Because if they ever become a devotee, then you might get the reaction for offending a devotee. The only thing you can do is spend the rest of your life trying to make sure they never become a devotee. It's probably not the most productive way of living one's life. So there's no, we have Sati. She was offended because her father, Daksha, blasphemed Lord Shiva. And then she was so offended that she committed suicide by burning her own body to ashes, self-immolation. And Daksha had to pay with his head. His head got cut off, and he received the head of a goat. Practically speaking, any time we talk about, and what to speak of Krishna Leela, we have Dravida. Dravida was not an ordinary demon. He was a super demon. He was so strong that he waved his... He was actually stronger than 10,000 elephants. And those were big elephants in Dwarpa Yuga. They were little tiny scrawny elephants like we have now. He was so strong he could wave his arms in the ocean and wash over, he creates tsunamis and wash over whole cities. After all, he was actually an incarnation of Dravida from the spiritual world. Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, has eternal associates in the spiritual world. Dravida is one of them. And Mainda was the other one. They're both related brothers. And they're both eternal associates of Lord Ramachandra in the spiritual world. But Dravida, due to bad association, does anyone know who he associated with? It was bad association. Bhamasura, yes. And who is Bhamasura? Who is his Bhamasura's father? What's that? How does he become Krishna's son? just by touching the earth, she became impregnated. It wasn't just a little tiny sphere where we imagined to be earth was, Bhardvarsha. It was all of Bhumandali he lifted up with his tusk. But just by touching Bhumandala, then she became impregnated and she gave birth to Bhomasura. But Bhomasura was a demon. He didn't. Sometimes sons aren't so good. He was a bad son. And he became a powerful demon, and Dravida associated with him. And he became a demon too, although he's an incarnation of an eternal associate of the Lord. So at least here we have an example of someone from the spiritual world falling down by bad association. So, of course, he did many mischievous activities, taking Krishna's devotees from Dwarka, putting them in caves and sealing them, raping aristocratic ladies, passing stool on the hermitages of devotees. He did a lot of nasty things. And when he met Lord Nityananda and his gopi girlfriends who were enjoying the rasa dance, then he was going through the trees shouting, "Kikila, Kikila." Do you know what that means? I don't know what it means. No idea. Anyhow, that's what he was saying. And then he came before the gopis and insulted them, showing the passing air in front of them, showing the lower part of his body, moving his eyebrows in a seductive way, ripping off their clothes. And when he ripped off clothes of Balaram, it wasn't so bad, but he actually took away Balaram's Varuni nectar. Varuni nectar made out of honey. So that was, Munitananda said, Lord Balaram said, "That's it. It's over." He took the honey away. And he remembered all his misdeeds. He had heard about Dravida's misdeeds, and he decided it's now time to get rid of this rascal. So he picked up a rock and threw it at Dravida. And Dravida artfully dodged the rock. And then Dravida, in order to get even with Balaram, picked up a tree, a Shaila tree, which is a huge tree. Probably it's 150 meters high. He picked it up and just tore off all the leaves and the branches from it and took it and hit Lord Nityananda on the head with it. Something Lord Nityananda didn't appreciate. But he took his club, Lord Nityananda, and smashed the tree to little pieces. And then he took his club and he smashed Dravida over the head with his club. And it was so hard he smashed him that broke open his head, and blood began to flow down his head like manganese flows from a mountain after Lord Indra hits it with his thunderbolt. But Dravida was not even slightly fazed by it, and he took another tree and tried to hit Balaram again with it. But this time Balaram again hit the tree with his club and smashed it to pieces. This way it went on. Dravida would take a tree from the forest, take off all its leaves and branches, and try to hit Balaram again with it. And this way Balaram would simply break all the trees to little splinters, but with his club. This went on until there was no more trees in the forest. So Dravida, he picked up a boulder and tried to smash Balaram on the head with the boulder, and Balaram hit the boulder away with his club. This is the origin of American baseball. They'd throw the boulder and he'd hit it out of the ballpark. And this way there were no more boulders. So then finally Dravida came up to Balaram, started to hit him with his powerful arms, and Balaram just took his arm and just smashed him on the collarbone. Dravida started to vomit blood and fell on the ground and there was an earthquake and he was dead. So, it's not a good idea to harass Krishna's dham, Dwarka, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's pure devotees. Then you wind up pretty much dead, no matter who you are. Even if you were personal associate of Krishna, and you got bad association, Krishna's son. I mean, what kind of karma is that? You're an incarnation from Vaikuntha, you get Krishna's personal association with Krishna's son, and you wind up a demon, and you wind up a dead demon, because you offend so many devotees and Krishna himself. So the idea is, Mahantastu, what is that? Is that sorry? Mahat dwaram ahuram muktes tamo dwaram yoshiti sangi sanga. And then I guess this is where Tatikshava karunika surida sarvadehina ajata shatrava shanta surida sarabhushana. That devotee has no enemies. Therefore, if you associate with devotee, mahat sevam dwaram ahuram muktes, it becomes the doorway to the spiritual world. Mahat sevam dwaram ahura vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshita sangi sangam. But if you associate with non-devotees, then it's the gateway to hell. And this is what's shown, practically speaking, that's the idea in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is the characteristics of a Vaishnava, if one wants to become a Vaishnava? So he says that a Vaishnava is one who doesn't associate with non-devotees. What is that verse? Where does it start? Asat sanga tyaga Vaishnava chara stri sanga ekasara Krishna bhakta ara. That he was asked, what are the characteristics of the devotee? He didn't say, well, he chants Hare Krishna so many times, or he worships the deity. He says, no, asat sanga tyag e vaishnava chara. Devotee is one who gives up the association of non-devotees. And then he says, those who are too attached to women, those who are too attached to material opulence, those who are attached to sense gratification, and those who are just simply non-devotees. Sat sanga tyag e vaishnava chara stri sangi eka saru Krishna bhakta ara. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also, he says, you know, chant, think of me, surrender, become my devotee, give up everything. But there's an opportunity, still one we may associate with non-devotees and get contaminated again and fall down. Even a great devotee like, he says, idam te nata paskayana bhaktaya kadachina, anyone who's envious of Krishna, who's not austere or devoted, or engaged in devotional service, then one shouldn't associate with them. Like, we have the example of Raghunath Bhat. His brother was a Mayavadi. And he came and visited Raghunath Bhat. And he wanted to recite the Bhagavatam, his version of the Bhagavatam, his commentary. And he was going around asking everyone, can I recite the Bhagavatam to you, etc. He said, no way. You know. But then he came to Bhagavan Acharya, and he said, could I recite the Bhagavatam to you? Bhagavan Acharya was a cowherd boy in his pastimes of Krishna, great devotee, but he was a little embarrassed. He couldn't say no, and he didn't want to say yes. But when Srupa Damodar heard that Bhagavan Acharya was going to hear the Bhagavatam from this devotee, he told him, no way, you know. He said, but you know, I'm a pure devotee. I'm an eternal liberated soul. I mean, it's associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna in the spiritual world. What harm will it do? She said that even if a Mahabhagavat hears this Sharirak Bhasha commentary by Shankaracharya, that even he might fall down. So Bhagavan Acharya said, oh, it was actually Bhagavan Acharya's brother he said, sorry, and get lost. Go back wherever you were. So, offending Krishna's devotees, even hearing Mayavadi philosophy, brings disaster in one's existence. So all these things should be avoided. And not only that, we should not associate with non-devotees, but Krishna says, we should associate with the devotees and hear and chant about Krishna. Idam te natapadha. Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhaktesh pavadashuti bhakti mayi puram kritva mame vaishatya samshaya. That there's nothing more important, there's nothing more auspicious than simply to hear and chant about Krishna, no matter what the consequences are. Siddhartha Goswami retired from being the head of an entire practically nation, West Bengal at that time, or maybe it was extended beyond into Bangladesh. But he decided to retire and just hear the Bhagavatam. But by hearing the Bhagavatam, the Muslim governor at that time, Hussein Shah, he came and arrested him and threw him in prison just for hearing the Bhagavatam, or from not doing his duty. So, better you get vanquished and put in jail for hearing the Bhagavatam than you do your duty and go to hell with the Muslims.
Or anyone else.
Of course, Muslims are not bad, but this particular Muslim had an idea of invading Jagannath Puri and destroying Lord Jagannath, which is not a very good thing to assist him in doing. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments?
Hare Krishna. This verse speaks about taking, and you also mentioned taking shelter of lotus feet, like taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. At the same time, it seems that devotees are not very fond of anybody embracing or touching their lotus feet. Neither, I think, any of us are super happy when somebody is grabbing our feet.
Especially if you're going to trip and fall. Prabhu! Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll call the ambulance. Don't worry.
So, how does one touch the lotus feet so it's not angering the devotees? How does one honor the lotus, touch the lotus feet that it doesn't make the devotees uncomfortable or unhappy?
Well, I guess you can ask the devotee.
They'll say no.
Prabhupada said, especially non-devotees, you shouldn't allow them to touch your feet. But even devotees, you know, it's out of humility. I touch my feet, you know, want to get purified? Anyone else want to get purified? Today it's a bargain. It's only 50 euros.
You get half price.
No, out of humility, the devotees don't want their feet to be touched. They're trying to become everyone else's servant. They don't want to get this idea that you're my servant. How to do it, I guess. Sometimes devotees playfully do it, and then they get into a wrestling match and winds up in a fight. You rascal, you touch my feet.
It seems not much, it's not the culture nowadays, is touching the feet, for at least in the moment.
I don't know if it was ever a culture. Of course, we haven't grown up in a culture where you go to your parents, you touch their feet in the morning. Like Krishna and Balaram did to their parents. We're not in that culture. We're in a culture, you know. We don't do those things. We shake people's hands. Unless there's the coronavirus going around, we don't even shake people's hands. So I don't know. It's not part of the culture, but when it's part of the culture, it's a lot easier to do. When you grow up doing it.
Yes. Also, I was frequently asked, "What's so special about the feet? Why the feet? Why do we speak about the feet, and touch the feet, take shelter of the feet? Why not some other part, or like look at the moon face, or?"
Well, because feet are giving the most service to the body. They're the lowest part of the body. They support the rest of the body. And they're closest to the earth. They're the lowest. Although they're supportive of everything else, they're on the lowest part of the body. So you approach the lowest part of the body, and then you work your way up. That's the methodology set in the Bhagavatam, dealing with the deities or the devotees. You start from the feet. Besides, the lotus feet are on the lotus Goloka Vrindavan, so touch their feet, you're also touching Goloka Vrindavan. So it's very auspicious. And also it's the symbol of service, that I want to serve you, every part of you, even your feet, even if they're touching the ground. Anything else? Looks like Tuesdays, yes.
This was a question one devotee asked during the Nrisimha Chaturdashi. It somehow coincides with what you mentioned today, that Sarucha and Uttama got a reaction post-dated. They insulted Dhruva, then he became a devotee, then they got a reaction. So he said, "We are blasting Hiranyakashipu, but he was a devotee and he's going to go back to being a devotee. Aren't we going to get some blowback from criticizing Hiranyakashipu?"
We'll find out. We're not criticizing Hiranyakashipu. We're criticizing his attacking Prahlad Maharaj. And we're to speak of attacking Krishna's devotees, the demigods. So we don't criticize him, we criticize what he did. Don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. Anything else? Yes.
Touching moment when somebody has a change of heart. I think this is a favorite ploy in the movies, when some rascal turns out to become a better man or something, like has a change of heart. So here we have some examples of the person getting spoiled, like Vivida. I'm trying to think, do we have many examples of some demon becoming, having a change of, good change of heart, and then becoming a very nice person? I could think maybe of Bali Maharaj, although I'm not quite sure that he acted as a rascal. But he's sort of a person who acted as a demon, and then he's from a family of demons, but then he surrenders and says, nice philosophy.
Banasura. He ultimately got clean shaved by Krishna, and I guess he became a devotee. Yes. Aniruddha is his nephew, or what do they call that?
Son-in-law,
yeah. So that comes to my mind, is Vanasura. Or Daksha also, he's kind of a non-devotee in some way, and then he became somewhat of a devotee. Of course, he may not be a good example. He wound up offending Narada Muni on a number of occasions, so he couldn't give up his offensive attitude. Or maybe, what's his name? In Chaitanya Leela, the one who offended, who was a scholar.
Oh, Devananda Pandit.
Devananda Pandit. He became a devotee, so.
Also Gopal Chapan seems to, of course he suffered.
Yeah, he also got forgiven. The Rasa Muni, he got forgiven by Ambarish Maharaj. Had a change of heart. He had a change of heart. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.